Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Yep, I've completed each one of these to perfection, and I got nothing left to learn. No, we will all always be learning more and more about what it means to be more fruitful in regard to the fruit of the Spirit. God's calling us to become men and women of God who are following Him with maturity and following the Holy Spirit's lead whenever possible. And we often put off maturity because, well, it's often uncomfortable. Or at the very least, it requires discipline that we don't really want to put forth the effort to achieve. But none of us know how much time we have left to get this process started. And I say that because I was recently, several days ago, I was going on a walk. I was musing upon just the idea that really, you know, none of us know how much time we have left, right? I'm sure plenty of us in this room could all attest to the fact that we've been to several funerals, and in those funerals, we've seen young and old alike in those coffins. And as sad as it may be and difficult to imagine, as it may be, the truth is each and every one of us one day are going to die. We're going to pass away. And it begs the question, well, what are we doing with the time that we have right now? And as I was walking with the Lord and talking with Him about these things, and yes, I know it sounds completely dramatic. The whole time I was actually walking in a graveyard, musing upon these things. And I do that because, you know, I feel like, you know, Graceland Cemetery specifically, it's a nice place to walk. I've never walked there before. You know, and it's a time where I can go away and just kind of talk with the Lord, walk with Him. But it also does actually keep fresh on my mind the fact that one day I'm going to die. That one day my life is going to be defined by a name on a stone with a date where I was born and a date where I died. And it's kind of humbling when you constantly put that before yourself. And it isn't to depress yourself. It isn't to discourage yourself or make yourself feel sad. What it does, though, is it gives you hope the time that you do have, you can use for God, and your life can be a testimony to His faithfulness and His goodness. It's just a matter of, are we really utilizing that time right here, right now, with every moment that we have right in front of us? I don't know if you've ever thought about how powerful the present is. It's very powerful. You see, with the present is the only moment that we have that we can actively do something with. Every moment that's passing becomes the past, right? And every time that we go through something new or we go through a different experience in the present, it creates new memories, which in effect creates a new past. Now, it's interesting to look at it that way. You cannot change the past, right? Everything that's already passed is past. It's fixed. But have you ever thought about the fact that with the present, you can actually supply new memories to create new experiences that become your new past? Powerful. And with your present, you also have the ability to invest in it in such a way that you can change the entire trajectory of your future by what you choose today, what you choose moment by moment. It's said that the present is where our lives meet eternity, so to speak. And what we do with the present and in the moment that we have right in front of us right now can mean everything when it comes to what we're eventually going to look back on as our new memories, as well as what direction we're heading in our lives and the blessings that we're positioning ourselves for because of all the promises and all the goodness of God that He wants to extend to us. But the question again is, are we really using our time wisely? What does this have to do with the fruit of the Spirit? Well, here's what it has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. It takes time to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Just like any natural plant that you might plant, You know, you need to have good seed. You need to plant that good seed in good soil and need to water it and let it stay in the light. And then, given time, that plant will hopefully produce fruit. It takes all of those factors working together in conjunction with one another to be able to be blessed by the produce of whatever plant it is you have planted. Now, same thing is true in our lives as it pertains to the fruit of the Spirit. We really need to constantly be receiving good seed. What is that? The Word of God, right? We need to constantly be finding ourselves making sure that we're staying planted in the place where we can receive that good seed, and also so that we can be accountable to one another. Because really, the idea of being planted somewhere, I'm referring to the idea of, well, we need to be in the local body of Christ. And if you've ever tried to take a plant and plant it and then root it up again and plant it somewhere else and root it up again and plant it somewhere else and root it up again, you probably didn't even get that far because it died first. It's not healthy for a plant to be planted and then rooted up over and over and over again, all to be planted somewhere new. And it might be receiving good water, and it might have been planted in good soil, but it is a traumatic, painful, hurtful experience to the plant. And so for us, we need to be planted. We need to be steadfast and grounded, going to the place where God calls us to go and staying there until he says otherwise, no matter how much offense happens in between. And this isn't a message about offense, but I'll throw that in there for free. We need to be planted. We need watered. What better way to be watered than by the ministering of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Jesus said, hey, if anyone thirsts, let him come after me, and I will give him living water to drink, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He's referring to the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to follow his lead. Let me tell you, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be nourished. We also need to stay in the light. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into a different verse. But the importance of staying in the light is tantamount. I mean, it's so important, so paramount when it comes to our faith, our growth, and our ability to really stay with it and be strong, mature believers in Christ. And all of these things that I just mentioned are important as it pertains to producing fruit. And while I was on that walk in the cemetery and I was thinking about, you know, just the idea that I have no idea how much time I have left, I was thinking, well, what would be the most redemptive way to live out the rest of my days? You know, it's up to you how you're going to decide to use those moments that are set before you. But what is the most redemptive way? And truth is, the most redemptive thing that we can do and the most healthy thing we can do is really fall more in love with Jesus to the point where his character and his nature are being produced in us through the fruit of the Spirit so that other people can be blessed by our lives in such a way that they see the goodness of God in you. They see the fruit of the Spirit in you and are able to partake of it. Because remember, a tree that produces fruit does not bear fruit for itself. It does not eat its own fruit. Instead, others get to partake of that fruit. And I hope you realize that there are a lot of people around you that are starving for the love of God, starving for more of the peace of God, for more of the joy of God, for you to become a long-suffering person, a kind person, a person who understands the goodness of God, who is meek and who is teachable. I mean, all the fruit of the Spirit, you want to name them, people are starving for that because we live in a world that, doesn't produce that. Naturally, the world can't produce these things. The world can try to make counterfeit versions of these things. And if you put enough effort in there, maybe for a couple seconds, you'll be able to be patient. Maybe. It won't last very long. I don't know if you've ever tried it with yourself. Like, you know that you should be a more humble, more patient person. But the moment you're like, all right, from this day forward, I'm going to be more patient and more humble than I've ever been, which just sounds funny to say. And then you find real fast that in your own strength and in your own effort, you just can't do it. And it is a lot like beating your head against a wall, leaving you concussed and confused and wondering, well, how do I do this thing? Well, here's how. By relying on the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life to produce the fruit in you. Notice, there is a difference between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. When you think of works, you think of something that can be made, something that can be manufactured. You can put a machine to work and it'll, you know, manufacture some kind of product. And in the same way, you can kind of manufacture some things. You can for a short period of time, have a semblance of patience or kindness or what have you. But it's so often for the purpose of hoping people will see you as a good, upstanding person so that you can be pat on the back and people can say, wow, you're so kind. You're so humble. You're just the precious righteousness of the Lord, aren't you? Like, and for people to come up and compliment you because of these virtues you're expressing. If that's the purpose, that doesn't really feed people, does it? It gets you kind of full of yourself, but it doesn't really provide you anything that you actually need and really only serves to make you kind of full of yourself, and that's dangerous. And it also doesn't feed anyone around you because they need the real thing. I mean, it's kind of like when you want Coke, but all that's available is Pepsi. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. Neither of them are good for you, by the way, so very different from the fruit of the Spirit. People are starving for a very specific thing. They are starving for the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in you. Now, are you Jesus to people? Like, look, you shouldn't be Jesus, but you should reflect Jesus. There's only one Jesus Christ, only one Son of God who was worthy enough to die on the cross, to deliver us from our sins, and through him alone do we have access to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. However, that does not mean you're not meant to look like Christ. You are meant to reflect his glory. You are meant to bear his character and nature. You are meant to produce the fruit of the Spirit, and in so doing, help direct others to the real thing, to Jesus himself, because they're going to see the real thing in you. They're going to see it produced in you authentically in such a way that they're going to wonder, okay, how is this person this patient? How is this person this loving? They won't be able to wrap their heads around it. And every single time, you'll be able to point them to the source and say, it's because of Jesus and what he's done in my life. You see, this message is certainly more geared towards those who are already saved. That's true. Because you get to a certain point where when you finally accept Jesus and you become adopted into the family, into the kingdom of God, it is good, it is great, it's worthy of praise and celebration. I mean, when someone becomes saved, I mean, even the angels themselves are celebrating and rejoicing along with us. But it does not stop there. It's meant to go on. And what happens from that point on is we grow in our character. We grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're meant to become more like him by the fruit of the Spirit being produced in us. And that takes time, that takes development, that takes maturity, and so doing, it's going to take some pain sometimes. It's going to take some pruning sometimes. It's going to take some discomfort, and we need to be open to that, and that's where a lot of people don't want to be in the club anymore, you know what I mean? They join, they get saved, and it's a real conversion experience, but there's this fear of wanting to progress because of the pain or discomfort or inconvenience even it might cause them in their life. Well, let me tell you, it's completely worth it. And I don't preach this message to you because I believe I've obtained that or that I believe I'm perfect. I preach this message to you because I'm the most convicted by it. That in my walk with the Lord that I was telling you about recently, this is what he was speaking to me, that you redeem the time. You make time something that is usable for the kingdom when you spend it pursuing Jesus Christ and having that fruit produced in you. Because here's the thing, a lot of people are obsessed with wanting to know the will of God for their life, the plan of God for their life. They want to hear this romantic mountaintop word that says, you are meant to do this, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing, someone told me once, and they were very serious, they looked me right in the eyes, they said, you have no purpose but to love Jesus more. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, because I like want to do this, and I've heard I'm supposed to do that, and blah, blah. But then I like realized, you know, honestly, when you love Jesus, I mean authentically love him, I'm not talking about fake love, authentically, you're going to follow him. And if you're going to follow him, you're going to be discipled by him. And if you're discipled, you're going to grow in maturity. And if you grow in maturity, you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And if you produce the fruit of the Spirit, do you really think you're going to miss out on his will? No, you won't. You don't have to take a break from pursuing Jesus to find your plan and purpose. It doesn't work that way. You pursue Jesus. You pursue him and you love him. Just like he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. As you focus on these things and follow him step by step, it's like you're walking hand in hand with him. Step by step, you're in step with the Father, through the Son, with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to miss your calling. He's going to tell you. He's going to speak it to you. He's going to show you what to do with the moments that are set right in front of you. Because we need some guidance on that. Because if we're being honest, a lot of us maybe are spending a lot of our time, the good part of our time, doing things that have no eternal value whatsoever. We have to be careful about that. So as I'm going on that walk in the cemetery and I'm thinking about that and I realize I don't know how much time I have left, I thought about the verse that Moses writes in Psalm 90, verse 12. He says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Again, that's Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Because there's a certain kind of wisdom that comes along with knowing that you have limited time. Knowing that you can't just assume that you can put everything off till later. And speaking from my generation, I'll fully admit, we have this sort of like extended adolescence thing going on. Some of you are like, yes, you do. And you like want to attack me right now. I'm just saying, I see that a lot of people are carrying adolescence or kind of being childlike into their, you know, 20s, into their even their early 30s, and they're kind of wondering, what does it even mean to be a man? What does it even mean to be a woman? What does it mean to one day become a father or a mother? What is it? And a lot of people from my generation are confused about these things, and so what's the solution? We'll just keep pushing it off. Don't become any of those things until, you know, you're darn well good and ready. But when is that? And then who's going to define it for you when you are ready? The only definition we can give for how to be a man and how to be a woman, how to be sons and daughters of the King, is through the word of God and through following his lead. That's the only way it's going to happen. But I was thinking about that because I am not the exception to the rule. I do still have that in me, this desire to, maturing hurts, and I would rather kind of be childish. Now, I'm not going to just pick on my generation. I happen to think that it's more of a flesh versus spirit kind of issue where a lot of us don't want to grow up spiritually because it hurts sometimes and because in order to bear much fruit, we're going to have to be pruned. And according to John 15, Jesus really wants us to bear fruit and to bear a lot of it. He wants us to bear a lot of it, but it will take a process of submitting ourselves to him. And he's going to prune some of those things, some of those childish things that need to be laid aside. One of the biggest reasons that there isn't the fruit of the Spirit being produced in believers today is because we're too childish. And we won't submit to the process of what it takes to become mature sons and daughters of God. We need this. We really, really desperately need this. And I think to myself, if I live the rest of my life pursuing that, I won't miss my calling, like I said. And I'll be able to look back on my life and know that I did whatever I could to help people partake of the fruit of God's labor in me. And what about you? What do you want to live for? What do you want to say you accomplished by the end of your life? What do you want to say God accomplished in you by the end of your life? Because too many of us are living for the American dream. We're living for the idea that, if only I could get a bigger house with a bigger property, with nicer cars, with more money so that I can just save it up and so I can spend it. And so by the end of my days, I can say, look how much I saved and spent and look how much I can pass on and look how much I can boast about these material things. That doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God. And in fact, think about this, and this is true. Every material possession you own, everything, will one day either belong in a landfill or to a stranger. There is no other choice. You raise your hand and you say, wait, no, it could end up in a cemetery. But what is, and I'm not trying to be crass here, what is a cemetery but a landfill for bodies? That's all it is. It's a place where we put things that we don't know where to put. Like, well, this is the only spot for it. It's going to end up in the hands of a stranger or in a landfill. You're like, no, it's not going to end up in the hands of a stranger, you see, because I'm going to keep this in my family. Well, good luck making sure that happens after you're gone. But not only that, let's just hypothetically say that happens. It gets passed on to your son and their son or their daughter, their whatever. Do you know them? No. How well are you going to know your great-great-great-grandson or granddaughter? You don't. How do you know what they're going to value and what they're going to care about? You don't. And they might scoff at the things you care about. What? They're basically a stranger to you. So everything you own will either be in a landfill or in the hands of a stranger, and then eventually in a landfill again after that, okay? Here's the thing. Don't live for material things. Don't act like those things amount to much of anything in the kingdom of God. They can be used to bless others and to be able to help people with things and to be used in a ministry context. And yeah, we can enjoy some of the things that money can buy, can't we? Is it wrong to? No, but when you make that your goal, when you make that your dream, you have replaced God with an idol and you're saying, here's what I really want. I want to pursue my own dreams and visions and my own idea of what it means to be successful, and I just really hope God will bless it. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to pursue it anyway, is the mentality that unfortunately many Christians have and is one of the biggest reasons why we're not experiencing an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit being produced in us. You see, we need to be mindful, ever mindful, of how we're spending that moment right in front of us, because we can decide to use it for the kingdom, or we can decide to use it for worldly ambition, selfish ambition. It's one or the other, and we have to be mindful which one we're choosing, which one we're being conscious of walking in every day of our lives. Amen? We read these fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and we need to know that instead of manufacturing works through self-effort, we are called to produce the fruit of the Spirit through reliance on him, okay? Like I said, you can put a machine to work and it can manufacture something or whatever, but we're called to have a living connection with Jesus through the Holy Spirit that produces life-giving things. And it can only be through that reliance upon Holy Spirit. It's not about merely accepting our natural disposition in regard to our attitudes, but developing the character of Christ, our example of maturity. Look, there's too many people that go around saying, oh, you know, I'm angry because anger runs in my family. Or I'm kind of like melancholy and kind of have more of a sad disposition because, well, that just kind of runs in my family. Well, here, just for sake of argument, let's say, okay, yeah, maybe it does run in your family. Does that excuse us to keep it? You can be born any certain way, but hey, it says we're born in sin. So why are we acting like just because we might be born a certain way means that it's excusable? For instance, my family, we had a name for our anger. It was called the Dalton temper. And every male of our family, going back a few generations, basically called it that. And all of the wives of those Daltons essentially just said, well, that's just how they are. And essentially became, you know, passive about it and decided to just be all right with being abused by it, essentially. To the point where they give it a pet name, the Dalton temper. And for a long time, that was just used as an excuse for having anger issues and not resolving some of the pain and bitterness going on in their hearts. And there is a lot of pain and bitterness in the background and when I look back in my family. But the thing is, that has to stop sometime, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God, right? I can't live my life saying, well, you know what? I just have this tendency to be angry and people are just going to have to deal with it. No. If I'm going to become a mature disciple of Christ, I have to believe that I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not going to use my genetic makeup as an excuse to say anything about what I should or should not be doing in the kingdom of God. I'm going to submit to God and say, Lord, give me your peace. Give me your patience. I need that. I need it all the more because of struggling with anger. Lord, I need to rely on you to have your patience, your long-suffering, your kindness. And guess what? He's going to produce it. He's going to do that. But you see, a lot of us just sign ourselves off to, well, no, this is just the way that I am. But here's the thing. As we grow in the love of God, we will no longer be able to use those things as an excuse. As we grow in the love of God, the character of Christ becomes increasingly noticeable in us through the fruit of the Spirit that all stem from that agape love. People need to see the fruit of the Spirit in you, to notice it. They need to see you becoming like Christ because it will be one of the most powerful witnesses that exists in bringing people to the Lord. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as individual believers in our terms of like evangelism and what we try to do to bring people to God is this. Well, I don't read my Bible as much as I should. And I really like what I'm hearing at church though. Here's my solution. I'll just invite them to church. Hooray! Then my pastor can talk to them and I don't have to do any of the awkward relational stuff. You know what I mean? Okay, is it wrong to invite people to church? No, it's not wrong. But if that's your only method of evangelizing and your only method of hoping that people will see Jesus, then we are selling ourselves short, people. Because one of the biggest ways they will ever come to know the gospel is by you living the gospel. By you living, having the fruit of the Spirit in your life, they will notice that, and it will either scare them and make them kind of like, I don't know if I want anything to do with this person because there's something going on here, or they're going to be so attracted by it that they're going to be like, how? And then you know what you can do? Let me tell you about Jesus. Yes, it's not just about actions. It's also about what we say. Someone once said, and it's cute, you know, the idea behind it, but, you know, how does it go? The idea of you can preach the gospel through your words, but I'm going to preach the gospel just through my actions. And though the heart behind that is good in the sense that it draws attention to making sure we live good lives in our actions, it does sort of divorce the idea of the gospel being something that's preached. And we can't separate it from either of those two things. It's about your words and your works, how we live out the gospel. So please don't say, oh no, I'm just going to live it out, but I'm not going to say anything about it. Or please don't be the person that's only going to say something about it, but isn't going to do anything about it. Be a person who is mature, who is integrated, and somebody who is able to do both of those things, whatever it costs. Because I promise you, that kind of maturity and that kind of heart is going to be good soil for the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in you, and it will be partaken of the people around you who are starving for it, and they will want to know where it's coming from. And you'll be able to say, hey, it isn't me, it's Jesus. Jesus through me. Let me tell you about Jesus. They want to see it. I remember I had a friend who I used to invite to youth group when I was in youth group, and he said he'd come, and boy, was I upset when he didn't come. So you know what I did? I like got on him. I like totally yelled at him. I was like, man, what are you doing? Like you said that you wanted to get more serious about God, and here you are not coming to youth group. You said you'd come to youth group, and I'm just, you know, I'm upset with you kind of thing. And do you think he ever came back or ever even came the first time? Not even come back. He never did. And honestly, looking back on it, who do I have to blame but me? Because I was trying to hold him accountable to a standard he doesn't even understand. And I was trying to, you know, get him to hear somebody speak, but not even thinking about the way I'm treating him in the midst of that process. And that was the most distasteful thing about it all. He didn't want to come because I was being a jerk. Here's the thing. We need to be mindful of the way that we are approaching others and the way that we are conducting ourselves with both our words and our actions so that it reflects Jesus, not because we're putting on a show or a front. It needs to be authentic. I think people have a tendency to be able to smell fake. And sometimes real things get accused of being fake. That's true. But at the same time, if you know it's coming from a genuine place, that it's just because of the intimacy that you and Jesus are cultivating together, that you care about people and you care about your actions lining up with your words and those words lining up with the scripture, if it comes from that authentic place, it's attractive, really, to those who are really desperate to know God. And they don't see it in religion. They don't see it in just checking off the box about doing all these moral, you know, activities or religious activities, traditional activities. They won't see it in that. They need to see it in something much more real, tangible, and authentic. And that's going to be through your very life. It says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. There was once a time where we were not children of God. And I want to make that very clear. This is biblically accurate, okay? When we study the book of John, it says to them, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, the name of Jesus.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.